Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Amen, amen, and amen. One day he's coming, and one day he's going to take all his people home with him, and what a day that will be. What a glorious, glorious day that will be. And the only thing that we will take with us are people. People that have believed in Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord of their life. We can't force them. We can't forcibly bring them, but there's one thing we can do, and that's we can take the gospel to them. We can proclaim the gospel to them. They can believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord of their life, and they will spend eternity with us. This morning, we're going to continue our sermon series of living on mission and kind of working through that. But today, we're going to look at kind of a different part of this and the idea of being a church on mission. And so with that, I'm going to read the same verses that we read from last Sunday because it ties into this, I think, very well. And so beginning in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2, and the Word of God says this, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the Word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account for which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come to you this morning, and we're just so thankful for your word, Lord. We're so thankful for Jesus and how you sent him to die on the cross for our sins, our salvation, Lord, and you raised him on the third day to point us forward to the future resurrection of how we who have all in Christ will one day rise and be joined with Christ. God, we look forward to that day. We long for that glorious day. But God, right now you have us here and you have us where you have us right now, Lord, to be ambassadors for your kingdom, Lord, to be ambassadors for your kingdom that you have given us, Lord. And God, I just pray this morning that we will be a people that seeks to live on mission for your glory and your kingdom. God, we just pray all this right now in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Last year, I heard a story about the miracle of Dunkirk. Anybody ever heard of the miracle of Dunkirk before? Anybody? Show of hands? No? Okay. So the miracle of Dunkirk would have happened in 1940. I don't know which World War that was. I think it would be World War II. But in 1940, during World War II, you had the British Army and Allies, and they are on the beach of Dunkirk. And German forces are coming at them. And the problem, though, is there is hundreds of thousands of soldiers that are standing on Dunkirk Beach with nowhere to go. You can't go this way or else you will die by German forces, and you can't go this way because there's an ocean behind you. The boats that they had to get the soldiers were not enough. They did not have enough boats to come and get them to take them to the ship, to take them across the English Channel to the other side to be saved, to be safety. There was no thing there until Operation Dynamo was launched. And in Operation Dynamo, what happened was the British military from across the English Channel began to commandeer private boats, civilian boats, and jumped in, "We're taking your boat, we're going to get our soldiers." But not only was it British soldiers and military people that were taking captive the boats and going to get their people, it was also civilians. It is estimated that somewhere between 700 to 850 civilians all grabbed their little boats, as they were called, ferries, sailboats, fishing boats, pleasure boats, whatever you want to call it. They got on their boat, filled it up with fuel, across the English Channel to the beaches of Dunkirk. 330,000 troops were rescued because of Operation Dynamo, because of civilians saying, "We want to go and rescue those soldiers." Because all these people joined together as one collective force. They were a people on mission together. And I tell you this story because I want you to see that it wasn't just one person. It wasn't just one boat. It was many, many people joined together, going on this operation together. And the same is true for us as Christians. We aren't meant to live on mission alone. We aren't meant to take the gospel forth alone by ourselves. We are meant to live on mission together with the people of this church that God has given us, to the people here in Nillisbend, Madison, and beyond. And so today, church, my hope is that you will see these three ways that we can be a church on mission. And so today we're just going to talk about three ways for us to be a church on mission. And the first way that I want to point out to you guys for a church being on mission is a church on mission goes on mission together. A church on mission goes on mission together. And so I want to take you back to Colossians chapter 3 here. And if you remember in Colossians 4 in verse 3, Paul is asking the Colossian people to pray for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. And in doing this, Paul is bringing people along with him. You see that here? You ever ask somebody, "Hey, I got a project that I'm working on. I'm not sure how to do it." And you ask somebody to help you, and they say, "Hey, here's what you need to do," or here's something you need to check, or "here's something you need to look at." That's, in a way, bringing that person along with you to accomplish that project. In a similar way with Paul, when he's saying, "Hey, pray also for us that God will open a door," he's bringing people along with him. Paul understands and realizes that he can't do the work of living on mission by himself. He needs others to join along with him. And we see this throughout all of Paul's life in so many places. We see how Paul seems to always have a missionary companion with him, or someone going along with him throughout the book of Acts and his letters. Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13 are sent from the church of Antioch to go and be on mission together. Paul and Barnabas eventually split up for whatever reason. There's a reason behind it, but regardless, they eventually split up. And then guess who goes? Paul and Silas join together and go together. We see Paul and Timothy do mission together. Luke, the author of the book of Acts, was with Paul as well as he's going on these journeys. We see Paul accompanied with Priscilla and Aquila in many places. If you look at Romans chapter 16, Paul speaks of many people who were partners with him as he went and forth taking the gospel. At the end of his chapter here in Colossians 4, if you follow down and look there, you will see of all these people that Paul speaks of that were helping him and partners with him, going on the mission together, conversing, encouraging one another to keep on going. Outside of Paul, if you've been reading through the Bible reading plan as we've made our way through the book of Acts, you will see many times people doing mission together. They were praying together, they were fasting together, they were serving together, and they were proclaiming together. They were doing it together. I would even say more so that Jesus expects us to do mission together. You think back to Genesis began. When Jesus began his ministry, He's baptized by John the Baptist. He's up and he begins to make his walk. And he's walking alongside the beach and he looks out and he sees these fishermen. And what's the first thing he says? Call on me and I will make you fishers of men. One of the very first things Jesus did in his ministry after being baptized was he brought people with him. He joined himself together with a group of people to go forth with the gospel. 12 disciples with him. We read in Mark chapter 6, verse 7, that Jesus began to send them out two by two. The disciples, that is. In Luke chapter 10, verse 1, we see the very same pattern where there was 72 that Jesus had sent out ahead of him to different towns and different areas that Jesus was planning to go. And guess how they went? Two by two. Rarely do we see people living on mission by themselves in the Bible. Rarely do we see this happening and people trying to do it all on their own, all by themselves. Does it happen? Yes, it does happen. Is it wrong to do mission by yourself? No, it's not wrong to do mission by yourself. But is it the best way? No. No, it is not the most healthy pattern of living a life on mission. It is meant to be done together. And so often, I think we do our best, So often, I think we try to live on mission by ourselves. We try to go at it alone. We don't bring others alongside of us. We don't bring people together to join us in the mission, to encourage us, to pray for us, to do it together. And so today, I just want to propose to you three ways that we can live on mission together. Three ways that we can go on mission together. And the first way that we do this is we share the story. We share the stories with each other. Anytime you invite somebody to church, anytime you invest in somebody new, or you invest in somebody that you've been investing with for a while, anytime you introduce someone to the gospel of Jesus Christ, share it with somebody. Pick someone in this church. And I encourage you to not always pick the same person. Maybe even pick multiple people. Call them. Text them. Send them an email. Send them a voicemail. I don't care what you do, but take the opportunity to send them a picture of the story. To call them. To text them. Do something along those lines and share the story with them. Share with them where you were. Share how the conversation started. Share how you invited them to church. Share how they responded to your request to invite them to church, because sometimes it's not so happy, is it? And we need encouragement, guess what, when someone says, no, I don't want to come. We need our other brothers and sisters in Christ to say, it's okay. Let's just keep going forward. Share with them how you had a gospel conversation with someone and was able to introduce them to Jesus. Share their response. Share the name of the person you invited, invested, or introduced to Jesus. It may be one week the opportunity to invite, invest, or introduce doesn't come, right? Because we all know that's going to happen in our lives. We're just not in the right place. We're not at the right time. And I just encourage you to even share that with someone. You know, this week I didn't have the opportunity to invite, invest, or introduce someone to the gospel of Jesus. Share how you were nervous. Share how you were fearful. Share how Jesus maybe helped you to overcome the nervous fears that you had. Share everything of the story of inviting, investing, or introducing people to the gospel of Jesus. And that is just simply all I'm calling you here with this first thing, is just share the stories with each other. Because here's what happens when you share stories. You bring someone alongside you. You bring someone alongside you as you go on the mission together. You're no longer doing it by yourself, but rather together with others. But also, you encourage each other, right? Have you ever been struggling to do something and you call somebody and say, hey, I can't figure this out? And they said, here's how ways I help you, or here's a way to do this. And what do? They encouraged you in that. Whatever you were working on. Let me kind of paint a picture for you here. Has there ever been a food or maybe a meal that you did not like growing up as a kid, or maybe it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, or something like that? Is there ever any food or meal that you can think of in your life and you're like, I did not like that 15 years ago, but now I just absolutely love it? For me, it's sweet potatoes, okay? Sweet potatoes, you're probably looking at me like, you used to not like sweet potatoes? Yeah, at one point in time in my life, I did not like sweet potatoes. I don't know why, but I just didn't like sweet potatoes. But over my life, I have heard stories of people saying of how much they love sweet potatoes, how great they taste, how awesome they taste. And guess what? Over my life, I've heard many of those stories. And eventually, you know what happened? I was encouraged to try some sweet potatoes once again. And now I really like sweet potatoes. You see where I'm going with this, guys? Sometimes we don't necessarily like living on mission. Sometimes we're a little scared to go live on mission. Sometimes we're not as bold to live on mission as we ought to be. But when we begin to share the stories with each other, when we begin to encourage one another, guess what we're doing? Just like that food you just did not like, and you were encouraged to try it again, when we share the stories, we are encouraging each other to keep going. We are encouraging each other to try it out, to do it, to just give it a chance. Sharing stories of inviting, investing, and introducing people to Jesus Christ helps us not to feel as fearful and nervous and afraid of what others may say or respond. Because the more often you hear stories shared, you're eventually going to say, if they can, I can. If they can trust the Holy Spirit, I can trust the Holy Spirit. If they trust in Jesus to save someone that much, I can trust in Jesus to save somebody. If they can trust the Holy Spirit to lead them in that conversation, I can trust the Holy Spirit to lead them in that conversation. Sharing stories allows us to bring someone alongside of us. It encourages ourselves and it encourages others along in the mission. And church, I want to encourage you right here, right now, to not wait until Sunday morning in Sunday school to share the stories. As soon as, directly after you have a conversation, pick up the phone, call somebody, and share the story. Not out of pride, not out of arrogance, not out of look at me and look what I did, but rather for encouragement. Rather to share the story so that people, other people, and this leads us to our next way, may join you in praying for you and praying for the person you invited, invested, or introduced to Jesus. So this is the second way we pray for each other. And I want to call what Paul says was asking here in Colossians chapter 4, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. I think sometimes we think of prayer as not as a greater thing or as a greater work. Does that make sense? We think of other things such as living righteous and holy, or to think the actual act of evangelism or doing this or doing that as a greater thing than what prayer should be. Does that make sense? And Oswald Chambers says this: prayer does not fit us for the greater works. Rather, prayer is the greater work. I cannot disagree with him here. I can't agree more with him. Prayer is the greater work. Because prayer is just this, if you really think about praying for people to believe in Jesus Christ or praying for ourselves to be bold to share the gospel of Jesus, any of that right there, when we pray for each other, when we pray behind people's backs, or each other's backs, if that makes sense, then what are we doing? We're just softening it up. We're just getting it ready. We are just watering the plant. And as soon as we have the opportunity to boldly share the gospel of Jesus, it's an opportunity for it to sprout forth. Don't think less of prayer. Think of prayer as this wonderful, great thing that we should do. Prayer is crucial to living on mission. I read an article by Trevin Wax just last night about how prayer is most frequently enjoined gospel-promoting activity in the New Testament. Just about every time you see prayer, you see it enjoined together with the word going forth, with the gospel being proclaimed. Jesus says, pray for laborers, for the harvest is plentiful. Pray for what? Laborers, right? We see throughout the book of Acts, when they join together, they pray, they fast, and then what? The word goes forth. And so I just want to encourage you right now that a life on mission is a life praying for the gospel to go forth in your own life and in the lives of others. And I would say that the main thing that we should pray for when someone shares a story with us is that we should pray for one another that God would open a door for the gospel of Jesus to be declared. When you hear that story from someone, how they invited someone to church, pray for the Lord to work in that person's life and that they will be convicted and that the Lord will lead that person to come to church this Sunday or that Sunday or whatever Sunday it may be. Pray for the gospel to be declared in the sermon so that they may hear the gospel, believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray for the person that shared with you to follow up with them afterwards and to have a conversation and say, thank you for coming. I would love to talk to you about the service and about you coming to church. When you hear that story from someone investing in somebody, pray that that investment continues. Pray that a relationship is built that becomes a friendship. Pray for bonds and conversations, for genuine love and care for each other. Pray that through the investment, an introduction of Jesus may come. And when someone calls and shares the story that, hey, I had an opportunity to share Jesus, I was able to introduce someone to Jesus today, pray for them. Pray for that person to be convicted of their sin, convicted of their unbelief, and for God to draw them to Himself and that they will believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord. Pray for the person that shared the gospel. Just give thanks for the gospel being shared. Pray for them to maybe have an opportunity to cross paths with them again, to say, hey, have you thought about what we talked about last week anymore? Pray for salvation to come when someone introduces the gospel of Jesus. Church, my simple encouragement here is that we share the stories and we turn around and pray for those stories. We pray for those stories. We do it quickly. We do it quickly when we do this. We hear someone is sick in the hospital, we're having surgery, or when we hear that someone has passed, they lost a loved one. What is the first thing we do? We pray. We pray. And I'm not saying it's wrong. It is a very good thing that we pray for people that are sick, that are in the hospital, having surgeries. We pray for families that are mourning and grieving the loss of a loved one. We most absolutely should do those things. But church, I don't think we value the life of a soul that could possibly spend eternity in hell as much as we ought to. I don't think we do. I think we are quick to pray for people in physical needs, but we're really short. We take a long time to pray for people with spiritual needs, spiritual lostness. We should be quick to pray anytime we invite, invest, or introduce someone to the gospel of Jesus. Share the story quickly. Pray for them quickly, because that very soul desperately needs Jesus. Don't wait till Sunday. Don't wait till Wednesday. Just share the story. The third way we're going to do this is we celebrate with each other. I just love this part of it. We celebrate with each other. I want you to know every invitation, every investment, every introduction to Jesus is worthy of a celebration. It's worthy of a celebration. Whether they come to church or not, whether the investment continues or whether the investment falls flat, whether they believe in Jesus Christ or they don't believe in Jesus Christ, every single opportunity is an opportunity to celebrate. Yes, we may grieve, we may mourn that they don't believe, that they don't come to church, but we must celebrate every single time something along those lines, an invitation, investment, or introduction happens. Why should we do this? Because every time something like that happens, it's pointing people to Jesus. pointing people to Jesus, pointing people to Jesus, somehow, some way. And when someone does come, when investment turns into friendship, and when an introduction to the gospel of Jesus turns into salvation, we praise the Lord even more. We celebrate it even more. I tend to think of celebrations as momentum. You think of sports, and particularly baseball. I had a high school baseball coach, and one of the things he used to say was, hitting is contagious, right? Anytime you see a hit, what tends to happen afterwards? Another hit, and another hit, and another hit. Momentum is a contagious thing. And I believe that the more that we celebrate these stories here at Nilly's Bend Baptist Church, the more momentum is going to be gathered up and for us to be a church on mission together. Let us take the opportunity to celebrate the stories because it becomes contagious. It becomes contagious. So may we be a church that goes on mission together by sharing the stories, praying for the stories, and celebrating the stories. But doing mission together is not the only way a church is on mission. And so the second way that I want to propose here for a church to be on mission is a church on mission participates in global missions. A church on participates in global missions. Our passage here in Colossians speaks to this idea by how Paul is asking for prayer from the Colossian church. But I don't think this is maybe the best passage to utilize to convey this idea. I tend to think of Revelation chapter 7, as we read earlier. I tend to think of Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, with the Great Commission, or Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where we see Jesus declaring that we should go forth with the gospel. But what I want to read to you right now is just Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 10, which says this: "After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that one could number, or no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes, from peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.'" John, gazing into heaven, he's detailing exactly all he sees. And one of the things he sees is exactly what we just read. And what I want you to pick up on here is simply this. He sees people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, worshiping together in all different languages. They're crying out, "Salvation belongs to our God." Church, when we get to heaven, it's not just going to be people that look like us. It's going to be people from all the nations, all the tribes, all the tongues. All types of people are going to be there crying out, "Salvation belongs to the Lord." And why is that? Because someone took the gospel to them. Someone preached the gospel to them. They believed. And church, we are located right here in Nilly's Bend, Tennessee. And God has us here for a very specific purpose, to take the gospel to Nilly's Bend and Madison. And I hope and pray that we do that as a church. And guess what? There are people from every nation, every tribe, and every tongue that live right here in Nilly's Bend and Madison. And so we have an opportunity as a church here to do that, to take the gospel to those people as God has brought them here to us. But even more so, as we've read in Matthew chapter 28, that we should go therefore and make disciples of all nations, and Acts chapter 1 verse 8, where Jesus says to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, and Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. We as disciples of Jesus, we've been given this command to go to the nations. And so we have to ask ourselves, how can we participate in reaching the nations with the gospel of Jesus? And so I believe there's three main ways that we can do this. And the first way is we send missionaries. We send a missionary from this church to go to the nations. And I know what some of you may be thinking right now, and you may be looking around, wondering, who is it? Right? Who knows it? Maybe you. right? It might be you. I don't know. But I just want to throw out the opportunity here because I believe that God can work in anybody's life to call them to the mission field, to go and live for Him in a far away place. And I just want you to know, if you feel the Lord leading you or calling you to be a missionary somewhere, someplace, I encourage you to talk to me about it because I would love nothing more than to help you go forth as a missionary to a far away place. But church, if we don't have one, I believe one of the greatest things that we can do is pray for one. We spend time in our lives praying, Lord, bring us someone to this church that wants to be a missionary somewhere else so that we can send them. So we can send them to preach the gospel to people in other nations. The second way we pray for missionaries, or the second way is we pray for missionaries. So we send missionaries, but also we pray for missionaries. And so as a Southern Baptist church, we cooperate with thousands of other churches to support missionaries that have been sent from many different churches through the International Mission Board or even nationally through the North American Mission Board. And if there is anything that we can do for those people that are serving as missionaries globally, it would be to pray for them. They need your prayers. I promise you, they need your prayers. Pray for them personally. Pray for their physical health. Pray for their spiritual health. Pray for their family. Pray for their kids. Pray for protection. Pray for safety. Pray for them to be bold in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. Pray for them to stay strong and to endure the struggle and persevere in the life as a missionary. There are so many different ways that you can pray for a missionary. You just have to kind of have an open mind and you have to think a little bit. And you can pray in so many different ways for a missionary. Just open up the Bible, read it, and let God's Word lead you in a way of praying for missionaries. I'd also encourage you that if you wanted maybe some specific requests from these missionaries, you can go to the International Mission Board or the North American Mission Board websites, imb.org or nam.net, and with a little searching, you can find a link to where you can pray specifically for different requests that have come in from these missionaries. There's monthly prayer guides you can get on there. There's monthly newsletters that you can get on the websites. I know the North American Mission Board has this like calendar that you can get where every day you turn it to the next one and it's a new church planter and a new prayer request. There's so many different ways. And so if you would like help in finding that or having a resource like that, just ask me and I will be more than happy to help you do that. And so finally, the third way here we can pursue the nations is supporting missionaries financially. We support them financially. I don't know if you know this or not, but it costs a little bit of money to go live in a foreign country to preach the gospel of Jesus. Families going together, it costs a substantial amount of money to live as a missionary. And we as Southern Baptists, I believe, have one of the greatest plans to cooperate together for the purpose of sending missionaries, providing for them, helping them as we do that. And as a church, we designate a set amount to go to the cooperative program, which disperses it before the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board. But I just want to encourage you, if you feel the Lord leading you to give above and beyond that, I just encourage you to do so. When we do this, we've already did this year for the North American Mission Board with the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, and we'll do it for the International Mission Board with the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. But when we do these things, when we send missionaries, when we pray for missionaries, and we support them, we are a church on mission. We're a church on mission. But I still believe there's one more way we can be a church on mission. A church on mission seeks to plant and or strengthen other churches. A church on mission seeks to plant and or strengthen other churches. I believe that every church should have a goal. I truly believe this. Every church should have a goal to plant another church. Should have a goal to strive to plant another church. Do we participate in this as a cooperative church in the Southern Baptist Convention? We do. Absolutely. We are supporting church plants that we have no idea about right now. But we're indirectly involved in all of those. And what I'm saying here is we should be directly involved in a church plant. Somehow, some way. Or even more so, we should be directly involved in a replant. Or even just supporting a struggling church. Now, obviously, we still have our own issues. I think we can all agree with that, right? We're all probably sitting here thinking, well, Pastor, we got to figure ourselves out before we can help another church. I completely get what you're saying here. I understand that. I know what you're saying here. We're still over here kind of struggling in many ways. We need help. And I want you to know, I fully agree and understand that we do need help. And to that, if we say and we understand that we are a church that needs to be revitalized, and we've already made that decision as a church, we should be willing to receive help in however it can come. The number one reason that I tend to believe that churches die is arrogance. Arrogance. I know this is a little kind of a sidestep here, if that makes sense. But the number one reason I think churches die is because of arrogance. We don't need help. We don't want your help, right? We don't want to have you. We don't want to change. We like things just the way they are. And we're going to keep on doing them because that's the way we want it to be, and we're going to do them until we die, right? And I think that's just a sign of arrogance and pride. Because if you can't take a step back and see that the trajectory that you are on as a church is not good for the kingdom of God and reaching people with the gospel of Jesus, it's just pride to me. It's even more arrogant to see it and not be willing to do anything about it or not be willing to receive help. So for us in our circumstance and where we are as a church, that has already humbled ourselves and said, we need revitalization. We're going to commit to this. We should be willing to receive any help that we can get from other churches that are willing to help us. There should be no shame felt in it. It should honestly be celebrated that churches are helping churches because we're not in competition together. And I think that sometimes creeps into our minds where we tend to think that we're in competition with other churches down the road. And if these other churches are gospel-believing, seeking to proclaim Jesus in everything they can so people can believe, wonderful. We should be working together, helping each other. And at the same time, as we receive help, I truly do believe we should have a heart, a dream, a goal to one day support another church, whether it be a church plant, whether it be a replant, or whether it be supporting a church through the revitalization. And to be honest with you, doing that doesn't start when we are healthy. It starts now. Have you ever tried to get healthy? Right? You ever tried to do something to get healthy? You don't wait till you get healthy to do the thing. No, you do the thing to get healthy. And so my encouragement this morning is that we some way, somehow, find a way that we can support a church replant, a church plant, or a church revitalization somehow, some way. Willing to directly give and support them. Now, I want you to understand this. I'm not saying that we do this to our detriment, because I believe some churches do that. They try to support so many other churches, and it's to their detriment. So I don't want to do that. But I believe that we can wisely steward what God has given us to give directly to a church plant, a church replant, or church revitalization. And just so we are all clear, I want you to know that I believe this is a biblical and right thing to do. In Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, the church of Antioch sends out Paul and Barnabas. And what are they sending them out to do? To plant churches. To plant churches. And then Paul and Barnabas decide to backtrack. And when Paul and Barnabas decide to backtrack, some of those churches are very, very much struggling. When you read the letters, Ephesians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Thessalonians, all of these letters Paul is writing to them, you know why? To a degree, they're struggling. They need help. They need to figure some things out. And so my encouragement to you is that we find a way to support another church. And I believe that we can do this. And I want you to know that this is something that the Lord has put on my heart for a long time now. And the opportunity finally came for me to talk about it with us being a church on mission. And so with that, a church that comes to mind for me is a replant. A church that has died and is now being replanted. The church is called Smith Springs Baptist Church. Smith Springs Baptist Church is just south of the airport here, and the pastor is Michael Darbouze. Many of you may remember Michael Darbouze. Michael preached for us here in December, whenever shortly after we had Anderson. I think it was the Christmas Sunday. Michael came and preached for, filled in for me here. Michael is the replant pastor of that church, and he's there. And the church, many a couple years ago, from my understanding, they ran out. That's basically what happened. They ran out. They voted to close the doors, gave the building to the Nashville Baptist Association. The Nashville Baptist Association came in and said, we're going to replant the church. And they hired Michael to be the replant pastor. They've got a team together to, whenever they launch in August, to be able to go forth with being a church, to go forth with sharing the gospel with this community there and making an impact in Smith Springs. And so, what I want to say is, even though they've received support from bigger churches than us, even though they have people from bigger churches than us, even though they've had so many things that come and help them to be able to steward the building that they have been given, there are still things that still need to be stewarded, still need to be done. And so for this Sunday and next Sunday, I'm going to give you guys a week in case you don't have anything with you today. For this Sunday and next Sunday, if you feel the Lord drawing you or convicting you or leading you to give in a way to support the work of Smith Springs Baptist Church and the replant that it's going to be on the back table, just grab an envelope, write replant on it or Smith Springs Baptist Church, and we will make sure that it gets to the most the necessary person, or we'll make sure it gets to Smith Springs Baptist Church. And we can be a church that's on mission together by supporting another church, strengthening another church. As I come to the end here, I hope that you've been able to kind of clearly see that we are meant to be a church on mission. By going on mission together, by participating in global missions, by planting, replanting, or supporting a struggling church, we aren't meant to live on mission alone. We are meant to do it together. Whether it's individuals going together, churches praying and supporting global missions, or churches helping churches. As we kind of conclude this sermon series, because this will be the last sermon on living on mission, as we kind of conclude this, I just want to remind us of where we were. The first sermon, we talked about having a heart on mission and how we should have a heart that seeks to love this community, to love people, to take the gospel forth, to pray for people in this community. How we should, the second sermon was to remember and rehearse the message of the mission. It's hard to live on mission when you don't know the message of the mission. And so remembering the message, remembering it, rehearsing the mission, or the message of the mission. And then thirdly, last week we talked about a life on mission. How we go and where we work, where we live, and where we play, we seek to be intentional to introduce or to invite, invest, and introduce people to the gospel of Jesus. And church, I want you to know, if we aren't praying and if we aren't living on mission, we will be a church that ceases to exist too. I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen at all. If we don't take the gospel forward, if we don't invite, if we don't invest, if we don't introduce people to Jesus, this church will just cease to exist. To be very blunt with you, that's what will happen. Just like any business. If a business, and I don't want to make compare church to a business, if that makes sense, But if a business doesn't have sales, or if a business doesn't recruit people, or if a business doesn't get people to purchase their products, guess what's going to happen? It's no longer going to be a business. Church is entirely different. Entirely different than a business. So don't see me comparing it to a business. But I want you to know, we have a message. And if we take that message to people, I truly believe, if we are faithful to invite, invest, and introduce, God will be faithful to grow this church. God will be faithful to us to keep this church going, to keep this church moving along. And I believe that there is nothing more than this community of Neely's Bend and Madison needs is a gospel preaching church right here where we are. I believe that with all my heart. This church needs to be here. And God has called us on mission to live on that mission, to reach the people, Neely's Bend, Madison, and beyond. So may we be a people, a church, it's on mission for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you right now, Lord, and we're so thankful for your gospel and how you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for us, Lord. And God, out of that, you saved us to yourself, Lord, but you have called us to live on mission for your glory, for your gospel, for your purpose. And so, God, I just pray now, Lord, that we will be a people that has a heart that's on mission for you and your glory, God. That our hearts will reflect your heart for your glory, a heart that reflects your heart for your gospel to go forth in the salvation of people in this community and surrounding areas, God. God, I pray that we will remember the message of the mission, Lord, that we will remember the gospel about how you have sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, Lord, for their sins, Lord, to be the Savior of anybody that believes in you, Lord. And God, I pray that we will rehearse that to ourselves daily, daily and often, so that when the opportunity comes for us to introduce people to Jesus, we can do so with ease. God, I pray that we live a life on mission, where we work, where we live, and where we play. And we will be intentional to invite, invest, and introduce people to Jesus. And God, I also just pray that we will be a church that goes on mission together. That we will share the stories, we will pray for the stories, we will celebrate the stories. That we will be a church that supports and participates in global missions by sending missionaries, praying for missionaries, and supporting missionaries. That we will be a church that seeks to plant and replant or revitalize churches, Lord. God, I just pray, Lord, that we will be faithful to your commandment to go, therefore, and make disciples. Lord, help us to do that. And we trust that you will be faithful, Lord, to save people as we go. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can call us.
Let us take a time of reflection. Stand with us as we